In the 21st century, a weapon will be invented like no other. This weapon will be powerful, versatile, and indestructible. It can't be reasoned with. It can't be bargained with. It will feel no pity, no remorse, no pain, no fear. It will have only one purpose: to return to the present and prevent the future. This weapon will be called the Terminator.
You're dead, honey.
What day is it? The date?
12th May, Thursday.
What year? I'm here to help you. I'm Reese, DN38416, assigned to protect you. You've been targeted for termination.
Thomas? You seem particularly triggered right now. Can you tell me what happened?
I've had dreams that weren't just dreams.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.
Hi.
Have we met?
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small.
Dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real. What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
It's the question that drives us, Neo.
What is the Matrix?
It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. You are a slave born into a prison for your mind.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy.
Try to realize the truth.
What truth?
There is no spoon.
Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet. You are a plague, and we are the cure.
So you're here to save the world.
I'm trying to free your mind, Neo, but I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through.
It seems that you've been living two lives.
I've seen an agent punch through a concrete wall. Men have emptied entire clips at them and hit nothing but air. Everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
So what do you need?
Guns. Lots of guns.
No one has ever done anything like this.
That's why it's going to work.
Mr. Anders.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. Trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
I look at each of you, and I see the marks of this long and terrible war. If we die tonight, mankind dies with us.
The machine sent a Terminator back to the time before the war to kill my mother, Sarah Connor.
Sir, let me save her.
What you're doing right now, this is the end of the war.
I'd love to change the world.
time you're going back to, she'll be scared and weak.
Take care of her for me, Kyle.
All wrong. John sent me here to save you.
From the Terminator that was sent back to kill me, I know, but we already took care of him.
We?
I've been waiting for you.
The time John sent you to, it no longer exists. Everything's changed. We can stop Judgment Day from happening.
Ray! Where is he?
Speak. The program Smith has grown beyond your control. You cannot stop him, but I can.
And if you fail,
I won't.
Do you know what happened to Neo?
He is trapped in a place between this world and the machine world.
Bring me the eyes of the Oracle, and I will give you back your savior.
Mr. Anderson.
Who are you? Look past the flesh and see your enemy.
It's impossible.
Not impossible. Inevitable.
In less than 12 hours, the machines will breach the dock walls.
If we have to give our lives, we give him hell before we do!
Can Zion be saved?
Tonight, the future of both worlds will be in your hands. Or in his.
Mr. Anderson, welcome back. We missed you.
It ends tonight. You've never believed in the one.
I still don't. I believe in him.
The dock is breached!
Here they come. Neo is doing what he believes he must do.
If you tell me we'll make it, I'll believe you.
We'll make it. We have to. I don't know what he can do to save us, but I do know that as long as there is a single breath in his body, he will not give up, and neither can we.
Everything that has a beginning has an end.
Here, Thomas Anderson has the red pill.
The human body generates more bioelectricity than a 120-volt battery and over 25,000 BTUs of body heat. Combined with a form of fusion, the machines had found all the energy they would ever need. There are fields, endless fields, where human beings are no longer born. We are grown. In order to change a human being into this. Watch them liquefy the dead so they could be fed intravenously to the living.
Hello everyone, it's Aisha here from God FM. I hope you're all having an amazing day. Praise the Lord. Today is the 21st. Of April 2024. It's Sunday, and my sermon today is called Terminator Matrix. The reason I'm doing this sermon is because I was watching a Stranger Than Fiction video, which explains and explores all of the movies that we encounter, the Matrix, and of course, the Terminator movie. And what he was saying was that the Terminator was like a precursor to the Matrix. Now, I don't know if you've watched these movies, but the Terminator film is all about these robots, and they run the world. And they go back in time.
to try and kill Sarah Connor, who gives birth to John Connor, who is like the savior. If you like, it's a Jesus Christ type of figure. But it's also called Judgment Day, one of these films. And it's so it's very appropriate that they would put it in a movie. And then we've got The Matrix. And The Matrix is about a virtual world where your reality doesn't actually exist as you think it does. Even though you feel touch and everything seems blissful, in the Matrix world, everything is not real. And you're in a deep sleep in a pod. And basically, we are batteries for a hive mind type of thing where robots and AI run everything. And this is where the World Economic Forum wants to take us. I believe it's quite well on its way, actually, to this destination of hell on earth, where the abyss has truly been opened. According to what the Bible has written, I believe that we are quite far into the revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ is all about the truth. So waking up to the fact that everything that you know today is a lie. Everything you've been taught is a lie. Your education was a lie. Everything about our history is a lie. Everything about Jesus Christ when he existed is a lie. Because Jesus said that he would be back within the age. And some of the people standing around him would still be alive. So this wasn't 2,000 years ago, okay? Come on, everybody, please. You need to do your own research. I mean, obviously, you don't have to believe me. I've done a lot of research, though. The maps and things have also been changed. And so there's a lot of things that you've been told. And the reason for this is because if you believe that the fake Jews have claimed the land, which is prophesied in the end times for the remnant of God in the Revelation, there's a remnant that will be saved. And so if you believe that these fake Jews, which are children of Satan, have actually claimed the land, then you will have no hope for yourself. Now, if you're a real human being still and you haven't changed your DNA to be affected by nanotechnology, which is injected into you for viruses and vaccines, then you might still be human. What I actually think is, this is not on my notes, okay, is that the mRNA and all of those vaccines were for precursor to where we are going, okay? AIDS is a AID system. Viruses and things like this only exist in the world of computers. So I don't believe that we should have any of these viruses things. Well, we might have plagues, yes, and anything like this. And disease is when you're close to death, you're nearer to death, because Satan eats the soil, which is so ill, which I've talked to you about before. All the words tell us the truth, and that's how you can find out everything. That's the way that the Lord has shown me. I want you to know that if you are under attack at the moment, and if you've had a really horrible life where, you know, you haven't got many people around you, it's more than likely that this has been done to you on purpose. You've been identified at birth and targeted. And this is done behind the scenes without you being aware of it, because they have the technology to be able to see the future, and with their magicians and all that. All the things that happened before will happen again. There's nothing new under the sun, okay? Demons are real, Okay, and Satan is real. God is real. We have a spirit and a body and a soul. We have to be in harmony with the Lord. And the only way for us to do this is to follow Christ. And this is to seek to please God. Now, you're going to have opponents against you in your life because you've been called for a purpose. There is a blueprint on your life. I really believe this. At the moment, there is a separation going on where the Lord is separating the wheat from the chaff. How is he doing this? Well, you see, what it tells me in the Bible is that whatever Satan uses to harm us, God will use it to bless his children. Now, if at the first hurdle you decide you hate God because he hasn't answered your prayers and been a jack in the box, then God will also leave you to it. And then you really will feel abandoned. Now, I really also believe that the homeless people, many of the ones that sit on the streets that are down and out, are God's children. And they have been put through the mill in their lives to such a point where they've lost everything. There's only so much you can take before you lose it. And we're all only a couple of months away from being homeless. With the way things are, it's getting really hard, isn't it, as well? So I want you to think about this. The tougher your life has been, the more that you have a calling on who you are, and God's hand is upon your life if you follow Christ. So if you're finding it hard, don't get angry with the Lord. Submit everything and tell the Lord that you're ready to serve him. Because, I mean, look, you've got nothing to lose, okay? This is the way I see it. We know that our God is an amazing God and he's very powerful. Nothing can change God's mind. No one can sweet talk God. God has a mind of his own. And who are we to argue with the Lord about what is right and what is wrong and what is righteous and what is not? God has a system in place for funneling through and siphoning out the good from the bad. And the only way this can happen is through testing. And Satan is used as a tool, if you like, I believe, for this very purpose. And when you get fed up with the corruption and the lies and the deceit, then you start to really search for the truth of not just the little things, but the bigger things and your history and, you know, cars and technology and aliens and pyramids and water and electricity and gas and council tax and tax and who is the government and why are they in charge? Why do I have to go to work and work 9 to 5? Why do I have to work like a slave and then have nothing at the end of the month? Why? Ask questions because you'll get the answers. To get the right answers, you have to ask the right questions. And if you're unhappy with anything, it's only because you're not being filled with the love of Christ, who will nourish you through these tough times, and he will walk with you through the valleys of the darkness and the valleys of death. Because he will shine his light for you. And the only way you'll get this as well is by submitting and letting the Lord direct your steps. Now, I've had a period of time where I've had some very horrible times, testing of measures way beyond my comprehension. I had no idea some of the technology that has been used against me existed. But I can tell you it does. And in all of it, I have to say it's been the most exciting time of my life, most humbling, and the closest I felt to the Lord at times. Sometimes I felt a bit distant because I felt separated and alone. This is only when Satan is at it so hard that I'm finding it hard to remain balanced. And I'm sure you will go through similar things. This is why I talk to you about my experiences, because I'm hoping it'll help you. Okay, I want to also tell you a bit about some of the discoveries I have encountered. I've come to discover that the governments own all of the utility companies and all of the Ofcoms and the telecommunication companies and all the rest of it. They own them, and then they have subsidiaries that sell you your electricity, water and gas and telephone lines. Okay. This means that everything that you pay out is to them. So this is a slavery system. This is only just really dawned on me in the last couple of weeks. I had someone mention it to me a while back, and I did some research, and I'm pretty confident I can confirm that their information is correct. So it's all about making you pay out more than what you get. So this is the test of life, because you're here on Earth. On Earth, we are here as visitors. This is not our permanent residency, as I've already talked to you about in the sermons. But it's just to give you a background before we get into the Matrix, okay? Because the Matrix is all about controlling you. And the system that's currently in place is also all about controlling you and your mind. So that you think that you can get a job and you can earn good money and you can buy a house and all these things. But actually, when you buy a house, it's a mortgage, which is a mortuary deed. It's a deed of the dead, because Satan is in charge of this. He's in charge of the air, and he is also heir of this world, as in the word air and air mean similar things, but spelled differently, but sound the same. So words is all about getting the answers. Satan runs this world, and if you want to make it in this world, you have to submit to Satan. Now, Jesus, in his 40 days of testing, Satan came and offered him the whole world if Jesus would just get down and worship him. So this just validates what I just said, that Satan runs this world. I believe that the fallen angels have been released, and I believe that all of the little demonic creatures, their offspring, are the aliens. Okay, and so they really started to show up big time in the 40s. So, late 40s. So, if we're looking at a 70-year window, for some reason, it's always 70 years. The Queen had a big celebration about her 70 years, doodly-dum and all this other nonsense. And it's all about Jeremiah's prophecy of the 70 years. I think we've got to really look at the 70-year thing and consider our timelines. Sorry, I got a tickle. Okay, so we've got, are we living in a world that has been shown to us by the movies? I believe so. I believe very much that this world, as we know it, is all about... I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pause this. So yes, start again. Are we living in a Matrix world? Yes, I believe we are. Are the movies showing us where we are? Yes, I believe so. I want you to listen when I think about and talk about the Terminator. So in the Terminator film, the Sarah Connor character is the mother of John Connor that comes as a savior, and he in the future is this great figure that is able to overcome the robots. And these robots are so intelligent, they hunt you down, okay? They literally hunt you down like you're an animal. It's like a hunting game. And so with these characters, that's what they do. And AI is just like this. Now, when you watch the Stranger Than Fiction videos, you'll find that he thinks the same. And AI basically hunts you down through your phone, through your electric, through your gas, your water, your Bluetooth, and everything else. And it can track you. And obviously, you've got all the cameras and the lights. Now, the lights are key because they contain the Bluetooth and also the 5G to activate the DNA and the nanotechnology that they're trying to inject into you. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm starting to feel like I am Sarah Connor from that movie. And if you're starting to feel like that, that's, I think, a good sign. You know, the thing is, if you talk to everyday people about this stuff, they don't believe you. But I'm starting to find now people are starting to believe me. In the shop the other day, someone was saying, oh, Rishi Sunak, or whatever his name is, has said that, you know, the people, you know, in times to come will not be allowed to smoke. Today's youngsters will be banned from smoking because he has decided that smoking shouldn't be allowed. Now, you see, I think this really goes to levels beyond the scope of his merit to tell us what to do, all right? Plus, I don't believe that someone from a different culture should be running the United Kingdom. That's what I think, okay? And if it's wrong for me to think this, then you need to come and arrest me. Because I don't think that Muslims or Sikh people or, you know, witch doctors or, you know, Aborigines or any of the Chinese people or Muslims or anything should be running the United Kingdom. I think the United Kingdom needs to be run by the United Kingdom people who have a culture that is associated with being English and has an identity within that sphere of influence. So that's what I think. And that's not me being racist, because the English need their identity. And their children need to have an identity for their country. They can say, I'm from England. And in England, we have the, you know, this culture and all those things. Okay. But at the moment, it's all about messing with the identity, if you notice. Every type of identity. Okay. The other thing, so when this friend of mine was saying this in the shop, I said, well, you see, because everybody decided to follow along with the government and wear their masks and all this other nonsense, now they really have got this jurisdiction over everyone to tell them what to do, because you were all sheep and you all went, yes, okay. And so it's those people that followed all of the government's instructions and didn't question and research all of these things, that we've lost all our freedoms now. And it's going to be hard, because once you've lost it, it's very hard to regain it. And I know it's all very good to be a good citizen, okay, But I mean, driving at 20 miles an hour on the main roads is also a bit of a ball ache, isn't it? One of my friends was saying, oh, you know, they've got it wrong in where I live. They've got 30 miles an hour in the residential area. And then on this other roads, they've got 20 miles an hour. She said they should make my residential area 20 mile an hour zone. I said, you know what we should do? We should just not go out in our cars. We should never, ever drive a car because it's so dangerous for anybody on the road. It's dangerous for the people walking next to you. And she went, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're so concerned, you know, just don't leave your home. Otherwise, you might as well just tell the government to put chains around you because we've got no freedom at all. I mean, part of the fun of having a nice car as well is to be able to drive along with the music on and have a little bit of a jolly around, you know, put your foot down and, you know, let the throttle go and feel the power of the engine as you drive the car. I mean, I enjoy driving cars. I was taught to drive by a racing driver. So cars are something I enjoy. And why can't I enjoy that? You know, we've got motorways and all the rest of it. And why do we have roads right by schools? Why haven't schools got car parks? I ask these questions because, you know, it's just not sensible. And then when you look at trains as well, the trains come right up to the side and any child could just run in front of that train. There's absolutely no barriers, nothing. You know, if we're that concerned for our safety, you know, come on, everyone. That's what I think anyway. So, yes, if you're starting to feel like Sarah Connor, then that's no big surprise. And so the next subject is the Matrix and the virtual world. Now, in this, there's this Neo who wakes up to the realization that there's something else. And he's offered the red pill or the blue pill. And, you know, once he takes this pill, the red pill, he can't go back. And it, you know, he realizes that this is a matrix. And it's all about computers. And there's a pod system. And so in this film, he goes in rooms that look like normal rooms, but they're actually virtual. And they're white rooms where they go and have conference meetings and all the other things. And he goes to virtual worlds to hunt people down, to speak to them. And there's this person about the Oracle. It's all very interesting. But also, there's a ship that they go on, and it's called the Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the Nebuchadnezzar is interesting because in the Bible, there is Nebuchadnezzar, who is head of Babylon, and captures Jerusalem and also Israel. So, and that's for the 70 years of slavery that the Lord said he would abandon us for. So I think this is very, very interesting that it would have this. Also, there's this place where they all dance and it looks more like a sex act and they call it Zion. Again, it's just too many sort of inversions of the Bible. Yeah. Okay, and they're just trying so hard. I was saying also to one of my colleagues that I feel like the Mockingjay, you know, off that film as well. But with Sarah Connor, I really identified with her. Why? Because she's made out to be completely crazy and they lock her up in a mental ward. And I think that's coming because even though the World Economic Forum is telling us that they want to augment people into machine, if you try and talk to everyday people about it, they think you're crazy. You know, it's very interesting. It is. I think it's very interesting. And then I want to also talk about the metaverse. The metaverse, if we look at the definition of what meta means, it means dead. So it means the world of the dead. Verse is another word. Because God is the word in heaven and on earth and in the Bible, a verse is a set of words. So the fact that we've got universe is un-I, as in not real, verse. So this also tells me we're in a matrix. The metaverse is, the T represents God's writing. So this is me, as in Satan, Ta, thanks. I'm in charge, of this world in a different dimension. So I believe what happens is like a body snatch. They take the bodies of the people that they have infected, with whatever they put. If the person's belief system in God is not strong, then they, you know, their days are numbered and they cross over. I don't know if they're not here anymore. Okay? But there's a virtual world where I believe that Satan makes a copy of you. And it could well be the copy of you, the AI version, is what is going to be attacking you. The stuff I've gone through, the only way I can explain it is there's got to be a team of about 100 people who must be trying to hack me, having control of my network, getting my numbers removed from the network, where they don't work anymore, but also any new numbers or iClouds or devices I get are taken over and cloned and copied, and everything I do has a shadow to it. It's double done. And also really slow. So I always know when they're messing with everything because I can't connect to the internet or it takes ages to load and everything. But also the more I talk with other people, the more they tell me they've also got problems. I also know when they're trying to mess with everything is because my TV starts going with the aerial. Because I don't have Wi-Fi on my TV because I don't want to be watched and spied on, thanks. I have got a Bluetooth speaker, and that's also a difficult item to work with because even though it's off, it's still not off, and it's listening. And TVs are the same. So you've got to unplug them, but then you've got these cordless Bluetooth speakers which sit there and listen. And I got a friend, actually, she lets, I think it's Alexa, but you can name it whatever, and that controls all her lighting and switches on her hot water and all of those things. It's something from a movie, but it's starting to happen in this world. She's, I think, 70, and her son's put it in for her, and so she can control all of her electrics. Now, when you've got your smart meters, you've got smart meters, by the way, on your water, on your gas, and your electric, okay? And they all synchronize with one another, especially if you have been identified as a threat to the system. Then what they do is they target you through your phone, which can be homed in on through GPS. And then from that, then they can work off the signal, and each phone has its own identifying number, and then they can copy it and whatever else. I've worked it all out. I don't have all the answers, but most of it I figured out. So a lot of the time, when you have been identified as a threat, you have to switch off your phone. By the way, oh, and take out your SIM card and then put some tinfoil over it and then put it in the freezer for half an hour or overnight or whatever. Don't worry if you forget it in there for a week or two. It'll still work. I tried it. So, computers, I found so hackable, so I don't use computers much. But phones are a little bit easier, so I use them like a computer. But definitely you need to find your way around a phone. If you can have a smartphone, you need to work out how it all works. I found that they hack me through switching on my Wi-Fi and my Bluetooth, and then I have to go and switch it off. Now, you know, you can normally on an iPhone, you can flick with your finger and you can just press a button and switch off your Wi-Fi and switch off your Bluetooth or your 3G or whatever. And you can put it in airplane mode. So I do that. And then I go on settings and I find it's all still connected. Okay. So the stuff I go through, I know that there's a team of people. But they're not real people. This is an AI team of virtual, okay? And they work through your electric and your gas. This is all about the world of the virtual. Okay, so your reality is about 3D. You eat food, you go to the toilet, and you wake up, you sleep. And they want to disrupt all of that. One of the ways they do this is through giving you... They're able to do it with your electricity, make your bones ache, make you cough. I had a coughing fit while I was talking on the phone, and they do that through the drains. So you have to cover your drains up. So they go through the drains, the water, the electric, and the gas, and aerials, and your telephone lines. And it's also virtual, all done in the air. Satan is king of the air. Okay, so some of the stuff I'm telling you, you may know already, okay? You may also think I'm crazy, but these are the things I've gone through. So if you have problems with your heart and it thumps really heavy at night when you're in bed, change your position of where you sleep, or try just lying on the floor and see if your heart stops thumping. If you've got ringing in your ears or any of those things, turn off your lights on the main fuse board. Just stuff like this, you might find helps you. Have lots of plants, spider plants. They're really good with all of the things that are happening. So I believe that when people have partaked in taking injections and all this, they, how can I put it, are not fully in control of their faculties. They're not really here. Okay, I want you to think, all of the actors that are on the TV, they have sold their souls to get to where they are. So once they've sold their soul, Satan copies them and they have clones of themselves, and the demons possess the clones. Now, Satan can't create life, so he only creates plastic. And this is what we call idols and icons, because when you worship these movie stars, you're worshiping a fake copy of you, because we were made in the image of God. And so this is parading all of this on the TV. The other thing they've been doing for quite some time is that all of the female actors, actresses, are men, and all of the male actors are female. Well, not all of the males, because it's easier for the male actors to pretend they're females than the females to pretend they're men. because men can, if they've got a small body, they can get away with it quite a lot easier. And they just wear, you know, they just come across as skinny women. So all of the TV have really done with propaganda and put it in your mind that it's sexy for women to have no boobs and no bum and to be so skinny. That's because it suits their agenda, where the men pretend to be women. So quite often you'll be eyeing up someone on the TV and they're not actually the sex that's they're pretending to be. So that's another thing. You know, Victoria's Secret is actually all about, the secret is they're all men. So these are the things that I found out. And also the other thing is, a lot of these celebrities have appeared previously and they just reappear again and again, hundreds of years apart. It's the same faces. I've noticed it in my lifetime, the same faces on the TV. I go, oh, that's that person, but that's a young version of the same person. So, you know, in the Bible, it says about opening the abyss. Now, the abyss is the metaverse. I believe it is. And the abyss is the matrix, I believe also. So when God created everything, it was the darkness first and then the light. God tells you, if you know the end, you'll know the beginning. So in the Revelation, you've got this abyss opening, and the steam comes out, smoke. Now, also when God appears, smoke appears. So it's also, for me, the way I look at it, is there has to be darkness before the light. So for you to recognize that you want to be a child of God, things have to get so bad for you, for a lot of the people, that they search for God because they've identified they don't like lies and they don't like deceit. So they've decided, right, I'm going to follow God because I hate the evil world that we're in. And a lot of people are very comfortable in this world. So they will be happy with the system. They'll do whatever it takes to remain happy in the system, until one day when they look at themselves in the mirror and they realize they're just not happy. And this is already happening to a lot of people. I know quite a lot of people who go around in fancy cars and they work their guts out and they have a nice house, but they're just not happy inside. They've got a big hole because they haven't got the Lord. And it doesn't matter what they do. They can build extensions, build a swimming pool, buy 2-3 cars, get dozens and dozens of girlfriends and boyfriends and have parties. It just won't fill them with the happiness that Christ does. It's so interesting, I think. But the only way you'd find this out is for you to reach the point where you hate it. So I believe that if you have been identified as a threat, you will be hunted down by AI through your number, and there's a clone of you done. I know when I had a Facebook, someone told me I had a copy of another lady in Oxford, and she looked exactly like me, and it was like a copy of me in Oxford. And this friend of mine said, oh, I've seen you on Facebook in Oxford. I was like, really? But I don't have a Facebook in Oxford. And I don't have a Facebook now anyway. I deleted my Facebook some years ago. So, yeah, I think that that's something worth exploring. I don't know if you've had glitches in your time as well, but I've had lots of glitches where I've seen the same thing play out again and again, like going to the shop and parking up, and then someone else is driving in as I'm coming into the car park, and then when I leave, walking across the car park, the same car comes in again, stuff like this. And so then I've got some questions. So today is just a chit chat as well. Why do you ring people? Why is the word ring, you know, when you phone someone? Why do you ring them? Why is it ring? You know, you normally have a ring when you're engaged. Notice when you can't get hold of the person, they're engaged and you can't ring them. Yeah, they're busy. They're engaged. So you can't marry somebody else if they're engaged. So why is the word ring used and engaged for the telephone? That's what I wanted to ask. I don't have the answers, okay? And then there's another one that came to me last night. When people say, oh my word. Well, why do they say, oh my word? Well, that's also... Well, it's a bit like saying Jesus. You know how people curse Jesus when they're cross and stuff. So when you say, oh my word, who's come up with that phrase? What a strange phrase. When you think about saying it, it sounds weird. It does. Oh my word. What word? Your word? Is it oh my word? Why are you saying oh my word? Is it because the cats jumped on the table and knocked the vase over? Oh my word. What a strange thing to come up with. So I thought of that one as well. And God is the word, isn't he? So what is going on here? Then I asked the question, does the Bible refer to the matrix? And yes, it does. In Exodus 13:12, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And then you've got Exodus 13:15. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And then we've got Exodus 34:19. It basically says the same thing. Numbers 3:12. And behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. So, I'm wondering why it's called Numbers, you know, that book. And I'm wondering why the word matrix is referred to. And then we've got the Levites. Now, if we play around with the word Levites, we've got Liv, haven't we? Liv, Levi. Got Levi jeans as well. Then you've got Versace, which is verses. Interesting. Then you've also got in Numbers 18:15, the same about the firstling and the matrix. So the matrix is in connection to someone or something being born. More specifically, the Hebrew word is rehem, translated as womb. And that's 21 times in Genesis and Numbers, Exodus and Job and all these other different books. So I just think it's very interesting to study some of these unusual words. Why do they call the matrix, when the Bible calls the matrix as a reference point for birth? Is the matrix that they've created a world of death, like the metaverse? Because whatever God does, Satan does in opposition. I've said this before about mirrors. So if you write something down and put it up against a mirror, the reflection of what's in the writing will be in reverse. So it's the devil backwards is lived as in dead. So it's all about mirror and reflection. And if you look in water, that acts like a mirror also. So the waters of life maybe is about mirror, a mirror on this reality, being born through that into a new type of matrix birth of the living, like the Levites, which were separated from the Israelites. That sounded quite good, I think. And it's also, matrix is used in a medical sense, even today, to refer to something as surrounding or pervading substance or element within which something else originates or takes the form of and develops. The womb or uterus is the place in the mother's body where the offspring grows prior to birth, and the matrix is an apt description. In fact, the word is derived from the Latin and originally denoted female animals used for breeding in ancient Rome. So again, this is very interesting. It all goes back to Rome. I want to remind you, the people around when Jesus was killed were Roman, Latin, and they are also the Babylonians and the Egyptians. They're also the Greek, okay? So that's what I'm finding. The Greek and the Latin, they're all intermingled. Very interesting. And Greek is a very, very ugly written language, I think. And Latin also is a very strange thing, that Latin isn't used today, but the monarchy, they write with Latin for all of their flags and little statues and things. And they've got, like, if you go around a government building, look at all the little writings on the walls, on the outside. And it goes on about wisdom, and it's got all these people who've written these funny phrases and things. It's like a real, trying to be a wise guy. And these guys are clever, but they're nowhere near as clever as God. My next heading is good questions. A matrix study, reality or truth? How do we know what is real? What do you say to someone who thinks life is an illusion? Does finding Jesus mean stopping searching? Has technology improved your ability to communicate? Is it okay if new technological advances is driven by consumer demands? Freedom. What does it mean to be a slave to sin? What is true freedom? How realistic is it to work for political, social, or personal freedom in a fallen world? Faith. Is it possible to live without faith in anyone or anything? Why does God test our faith? Can people see that you have faith in God? Good questions. Next heading. Does the Bible refer to Terminators? Legion is the name of a group of demons cast out by Jesus in Revelation 9. It's a reference to the book of Revelation chapter 9, which mentions stars falling from heaven, nukes, and armies of locusts rising up out of the smoke, Terminators. Biblical Judgment Day is also mentioned in Revelation, so it all ties together. And also, don't forget about the John Connor being a type of Christ figure. Next heading is Terminator seeds. Terminator seeds refer to genetically modified plants created in a laboratory to be sterile and unable to reproduce themselves via any other seeds. And Terminator seeds actually helps fulfill a warning that Jesus Christ gave us concerning the latter days, before his second coming. So the Terminator seeds, I guess if they've done it for the plants, they've also done it for the animals and then to us. So it'll be hard for us to be able to have children where they're taking us. We'll have to order our children from Microsoft, from Mr. Gates, or Klaus Schwab. And mind reading and controlling your mind and reading your dreams and controlling your thoughts and giving you a headache if you thought of something that contradicted the government schemes, plots for their agenda would probably be something that they could do. Also, there'll probably be a cut-off switch if you continue to partake in taking all of these nanotechnology injections, which construct themselves once injected. So this would, the agenda is here to make you infertile, where you can't have children. Now, because we're made in the image of God, we can create life. So we need to protect this as much as possible. But it does say that God comes just in the nick of time. And if he doesn't come when he says he's going to come, then we'd be in deep, deep trouble. And so my next heading is trans what? Transhuman, transvestite, transformers, transhuman. So what they're trying to do is transform us. It's all about transforming you from a human being into something that you're not. It's about changing your DNA. God's identity is written in your DNA, in your blood, and your blood contains your soul. So if you mess with your blood and your DNA, then this would affect you. So when God says there's the 144,000, I believe this is two strands of 72,000 DNA that we have if you're a child of God. But if you have this injection that was for the pandemic, then you would have an additional 72,000 strand DNA added to your portfolio of DNA, and then you wouldn't be the same. And also, the Queen's birthday, she had a tree which had these three strand DNA type of display lights on the floor, which also represents this. My next heading is Machines of War. In 2 Chronicles 26, it talks about Uzziah. And I'd love to read it to you because it gives you something I want to discuss. There's two things. One is the machines of war, and then it's also being buried with the other dead, which I thought was interesting. And the heading here is Uzziah succeeds Amaziah in Judah. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king Amaziah slept with his fathers in death. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechileiah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, in accordance with everything that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God, and as long as he sought, inquired of, longing for the Lord, God caused him to prosper. Uzziah succeeded in war. Just a second. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gebal and the Meunites. The Ammonites paid tributes, money to Uzziah, and his fame spread abroad, even as far as the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Uzziah also built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, the valley gate, and the corner of buttress of the wall, and fortified them. He also built towers in the wilderness and dug many cisterns, for he had a great deal of livestock both in the lowlands and in the plain. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the hill country and in the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which went into combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, as recorded by Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The total number of the heads of the fathers' households of valiant men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines of war invented by skillful men to put on the towers on the corner battlements for the purpose of shooting arrows and large stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Pride is Uzziah's undoing. But when Uzziah became strong, he became so proud of himself and his accomplishments that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful and sinned against the Lord his God. For he went into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense on the altar of the Lord his God. Then Uzziah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, men of courage. They opposed King Uzziah and said to him, "It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who had been consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah, with the censer in his hand to burn incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. As Uzziah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked toward him, behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, he lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And his son Jotham took charge of the king's household, judging and governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, Uzziah the prophet, the son of Amos, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers in death, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field of the kings outside the royal tombs. For they said, "He is a leper," and his son Jotham became king in his place. Now, in the Bible, if someone was dirty, they were cast out of the village to the outside the gates. Now, it's interesting that these kings, they were buried with the other dead. Now, I want you to think about this, because Jesus also says, "Let the dead bury the dead." So I wonder if this is another way of telling you that because he betrayed God, that he became double dead, you know, like there's no salvation, you know, like dead, no coming back. And I just wondered this as well. My next heading is our weapons of war today for Christ followers. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. And this is the MSG version. The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively. Let me just turn the page. Diddly-dum. Trying to do it one-handed. Corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for cleaning the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. So I believe this is appropriate for all of us at the moment, that we have got these weapons and we can, through Christ, be strengthened and have all the resources. I believe we've got everything we need to fight the enemy. Just have to believe it. And I also want to read you about what the World Economic Forum want to do with humans, with their transhuman agenda. So you can hear the cat just jingling around. So, World Economic Forum, transhumanism, coronavirus, and the transhuman future. The World Economic Forum have a plan, and it's called the Great Reset. And it envisions a truly transhumanist future for us all. The World Economic Forum is an annual conference where some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world come together for a public-private cooperation. Since the mid-2020, the World Economic Forum has been promoting the vision for our post-coronavirus future, which they call the Great Reset. In their view, the pandemic has exposed the weaknesses of our old system and therefore present a perfect opportunity to reset our world and start anew. What is striking about this plan, which the World Economic Forum has condensed into a virus-shaped mind map, is its implicit endorsement of philosophy called transhumanism. The term is not used explicitly, but its values and goals can be seen at every level of the plan. Now, according to some, transhumanism is not just a new philosophy, but a new religion that will be the dominant worldview of humanity going forward. What is transhumanism? In a nutshell, transhumanism is a philosophical movement that promotes the view that the human species should take control of its own evolution through human enhancement technologies such as brain implants, nanotechnology that reverses aging, etc. This will allow humanity to transcend into a physical and mental, transcend its physical and mental limitations. The term itself was first coined in 1957 by Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous Huxley, the famous author of the dystopian novel Brave New World. Transhumanism and the Fourth Industrial Revolution now, one of the three main goals of the Great Reset Agenda, to harness the innovations of the Fourth Industrial Revolution to support the public good. As the founder of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, explains, the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identities. He specifically considers technologies that will change what it means to be human because they will integrate into the human body and the mind in order to overcome, transcend their limitations. Sound familiar? As Schwab himself admits, these new technologies can also intrude into the private space of your mind, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior. While these technologies seem like science fiction, they are nearly, well, they are already here. In fact, much of the pandemic response effort relies on the fourth industrial revolution technologies such as genetic sequencing, vaccine biotechnology, mRNA and vector platforms, and contact tracing. Mass surveillance software, social distancing measures have also been forced upon the population to replace their physical world with a virtual one, including digital versions of school, church, shopping, and even parties. While this has been a terrible loss for most people, this digitalization of our lives is part of the World Economics vision for our future, and therefore, in their view, might be quite desirable. Transhumanism definitely functions like a religion. Transhumanism also aims for immortality, but through technology rather than through supernatural or spiritual aid. So what we have here is a pretty frightening understanding of where we're going with the World Economic Forum. So they're going to sell it that you'll be more intelligent, you'll be able to study a course in a year, that you just get it in 5 seconds, just press a button and it'll be uploaded to your mind. You won't need a phone, you won't need to have any technology to buy things. You'll just be able to just buy it and that'll be that. You know, everything is aimed at making things appear easier. So when children and youngsters, well, grown-ups, go into shops, they pay with their phone, Apple Pay, and they pay with their card, and it's contactless. All of this is leading us closer and closer to where they want to take us. The cashless society as well is openly discussed now on the main news. So this would also be joined with the digital ID. You may like to know that in Nigeria, they've already done this in Nigeria. So in Nigeria, if you have a mobile phone number and a mobile phone, it has to have the barcode linked with your banking. If the device or phone number does not have a bank account attached to it, that number is obsolete and will not work anymore. So if you have a mobile number, you will not be able to use your mobile without having the bank linking it in with their system and for their digital ID. Okay. And this is all to do with biometric ID. My daughter, one time she went to switch on her phone and it asked for biometric ID. She couldn't take a screenshot of it because it was on the phone, you know? And this was all at the beginning of the whole COVID thing. So we know where this is going. Where your face will be scanned, and we also know that they can duplicate and copy and pretend to be you. They can do pretend voices and all the other things. And then we've also got to ask what people are real. Is my next heading. Real or fake people. So we've got Robot Biden. Okay, now I don't believe that Robot Biden is a real person. Okay, I believe he's a robot. I think that someone or something took him over. He also doesn't look like he got taken out of the cooker at the right time because he's still got gooey hair and he looks like that the character from The Sixth Day where the clone wanted to take the clothes off the original or the previous clone before the previous clone was finished with them. So I think that's what we're looking at as well. So like I was saying, if you look at Mr. Elon Musk as well, he looks like a robot too. Then we've got the guy Zuckerberg, who talks about when he was human, and that's because you're human, when I was human, and all this other stuff that he says. That's because he's not human. Was he human? And if he was human, what happened to Mr. Zuckerberg? Who's the one impersonating him now? Has he been replaced? You know, when you go online, they want to check you're human, okay? And you have the human test. And so my question is, why aren't we checking if the people running our world are human or not? Because all we've got, there you go, Gary. All we've got is we've got them on the TV, and we've got no way of verifying that these guys are real. I mean, how many of you have seen the president of your country physically? How many people who are listening to this have actually met or seen the leaders of their countries in person or just on a TV screen? How many people have seen the video of Joe Biden walking onto a TV screen into this main conference room, and his hologram actually fades in and out? How many people have seen this? Because I have. So there's lots of technology. There's the green screen, and that's where they can put the person anywhere. With a green screen background, they can make out that Joe Biden's on safari in Africa. They can even change the clothes. I mean, it's just like, it is computer animation technology. How are we able to verify that some of these people are real? I mean, we should be asking these questions, okay? Right, because if they're going to dictate to us what to do, then we need to verify that these are real people, not robots, yeah? Don't you think? I think so. Otherwise, you've got, well, the way I look at it, it's a beast system, okay? And the beast is Satan himself, who is AI, because God is I am, so Satan's the opposite, AI. So we'd be right to assume that any of these little delegates would be also AI, and they would also be seeking to serve Satan's agenda, which is the World Economic Forum's agenda, to exterminate all human beings. Blame them for breathing, tax them for breathing, tax them for eating, tax them for drinking, kill all the animals, give them fake meat. I mean, how many of you have a burger and wonder where that meat comes from? How many of you know about the millions and millions of people who are trafficked and sold and put into deep underground military bases and used as sex slaves? How many people know about these facilities that exist? And how many people know that under all of the government buildings are tunnels that connect to these military bases where people go missing and never seen again? How many people know about this? How many people are asking questions? Oh yes, here's another one. All right. I used to go to this one church, and there was always this guy there. Anyway, I got talking with him, and I was saying to him, you know, you shouldn't be pushing the injection on your people there, because he's a leader at the church. And he was like, yeah, but people got to make up their own mind. It's for them to figure it out. And I just thought it was a bit sort of harsh. But anyway, I kept seeing him around the government building. And what I worked out is quite a lot of the church people work at the government. Yeah. I mean, just start looking. Think of yourself like a little detective. Keep notes in your mind about what you're seeing. I also believe, right, okay, that if you are a business owner in a town and you're not following Satan's agenda, then they'll do everything they can to destroy your business. And a lot of these big businesses, I've noticed that, I mean, you know, I've done my sums on some of the, like, estate agents, for example. I've worked out how many properties have they sold this month, how many have they let. It's really simple. I know how many staff they've got because you can find it all on their website. And you do your sums and you work out that they're all running at a loss. And I don't know how they make any money. They must be trafficking something or other. You know, got to ask questions. How do these businesses stay afloat? It's like the odds are not in our favor. Okay. Okay. And then I've got real people and fake people. So, like, I've met some people and they've just changed, you know. Suddenly they're just not the same people anymore. It's just become different people, like in a horrible way. And obviously I've met a couple of people who've become nicer people. Like I say to people, I've really changed, you know, I really changed a lot. Okay. So I don't know how many people are real. So this ringing and getting reactions to the electric and all things, they call it the Havana syndrome. And what I found is that other people can't hear it, or so they say, unless they're just told to say that, or that maybe they're not real. I don't know what to make of it, but it can't just be me that's hearing it. I'm not going crazy. I have found that there's many, many people online going on about it. It's called electronic torture and harassment and all this other stuff. But it's going to come your way if you're a follower of Christ. And you need to know what to do to prepare yourself. I recommend watching Stranger Than Fiction. And he tells you how to fight it. He's got a book that he does as well. The other thing I've noticed is they've got the technology to make robotic birds, okay? And I've got, where I live, I've got seagulls. And they perch themselves on the roofs. And I've noticed on the roofs, there's these little sort of areas that are on the roofs where they sit, like a raised piece of metal or whatever. And I think that they're not real. I think they charge themselves. You know, I've noticed if I manage to get everything working nicely in my house, the seagulls come and tap my window, climb on my roof, make a huge racket, even at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thought that seagulls went to sleep. But every night this happens to me. And I think it's very interesting. I think we should ask questions. The other thing I've noticed is that on the movies, they're using a lot of the same scenery again and again. And I'm wondering just how big this earth is, if they're having to use the same scenes again and again. How big is this world? Or is it... The other thing that's occurred to me, and this does frighten me a bit, is did we all go to sleep in 2012 and never wake up and we're in a virtual world or something? Is the other thing I've wondered. I don't know. And the next question is, will the truth set you free because the truth is real, as in is real? Is that why God's chosen father of the 12 tribes is called Israel? His name is changed from Jacob to Israel, as in the truth. I don't know. Very interesting it is. I was watching an advert before I started printing this, and I quickly jotted it down to mention that the Virgin advert has a goat flying around in a paraglider thing. And then we've also got a unicorn going around in an advert as well, white unicorn. Why? Maybe I shouldn't be asking so many questions, but I think it's very, very interesting. Okay, so just remember that Christ is alive in your body. In 1 Corinthians 6, 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And so God is inside you. Do you not know that the Spirit of God dwells inside you? Please remember this, and that Christ is with you. So God has made you for this purpose. You must not doubt who you are. You must not lose faith that God is there. God is there, but he wants you to search for him and to search his book and to search for the truth. And then you will find God waiting, and that he's never left you ever. And he's always, always been there. Oh, I have got some more headings here. Ha ha. These technologies that will be used to include nanorobotics, genetic superengineering, converting our brain activity into digital form, and then uploading it into a supercomputer that will last forever. Like a heavenly paradise for them. Transhumanists think this can instead be achieved by creating happiness drugs that make you happy when they want you to be happy, to pleasure the centers. And it's for them to be, they want you to be, to think of them like gods, because that's what they're trying to be as well. And oh yes, the Middle Ages. I want to read this to you. Middle Ages, a period of the European history extending from about 500 to 14 to 1500 DE, traditionally known as the Middle Ages. The term was first used by the 15th century scholars to designate the period between their own time and the fall of the Western Roman Empire. I think this school needs to be looked at. I think this all needs to be looked at and studied. I haven't got the time, but I'm asking you all guys to please look at it, because Jesus said that he would be with us by the end of the age. And the Tudors is the same period also, between 1485 and 1603. I've got a few headings which I was going to talk about, but I think we've been going on quite some time. Pyramids, electricity, idols, football. Oh, yes, let's talk about that. Now, you know, God says, please don't worship Baal. Well, he was talking about the ball, because it's plastic and idol. Icons, idols, and holograms, I already talked to you about that. Recycled celebrities reappearing, I've already talked about that. The red carpet. So the red carpet is to signify the blood of Christ and to walk on the blood of Christ, mocking God. And this is a body snatch to body take over whoever they can. That's what I think. I believe, anyway. And I think that's everything, you know, I think that covers everything I wanted to talk about. I will tell you, I did actually read a book yesterday aloud, and I got to chapter 6, and it's called Mr. God, This Is Anna, Finn, by Finn. But there was so much slang with the northern twang to it that it was like trying to talk double Dutch, and it was a tongue twister most of the time, and I was just really struggling to converse in a legible manner what they were saying and comprehend it at the same time without sounding as if I was stalling and there was a sticking point wherever I was reading, because I was just really struggling. But I have got to chapter 6, and if you want me to release it and you like it, then I'll record the rest if you like it. But let me know, and we can go from there. But as I say, I found it probably interesting, but I would say it's be better to get a different book to go for audiobooks. But I am enjoying reading books aloud, and it means that other people would get enjoyment from me reading it as well. Praise the Lord. Let's close with the sinner's prayer. And I just want you to know that I love you all. I'm still not quite back together with everything. But I'm getting there. And I'm very grateful that I have both arms and legs. And my eyes are here. My ears are here. I've got a roof over my head. And I've had a really good meal. Oh, I cooked a cake. I got one of those ready mix cakes, and I put nuts in it and cherries, and I made this nut and cherry cake with icing, and it's divine, it was. And I'm not very good at cakes, so I was quite proud of myself doing that. And I've been cooking a lot of Millipop, and I really enjoy Millipop. Because it's South African, and yeah, you can buy it quite easily now. And it's also cheap. It works out a lot cheaper than rice and potatoes. Well, I like potatoes with it, to be honest. It's very nice, it is. All very good. So far, so good. Praise the Lord. I hope you're all keeping well. Remember that in giving, it's so rewarding. You're all receiving a lot from it as well. So try and do your little bit as well. People are finding it really hard. That's one of the reasons why I'm baking cakes, is because that way I can bake cakes for people who need them and cheer them up, and you know, I can bake some cookies and just give people a few cookies and cheer them up this way. Praise the Lord. Okay. It's Aisha from God FM. If you wish to find us, you can find us on Podbean, Spotify, Amazon, Samsung, Chrome, YouTube. We used to be on TikTok. We're not on TikTok because I've lost control of my number for that. YouTube, you probably won't see this one on there because it won't be allowed on there with all the things I've talked about. But you can find us on BitChute and Rumble, at Telegram, God FM Media, God FM News, and God FM Sermons, and God FM Bible School, God's Home School as well. Let's close with a sinner's prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we know that we are sinners. And we know that you came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, that you are God in the flesh, the living word, to set us free from death, sin, and darkness, and from slavery under Satan's rule. We glorify your holy name, mighty Jesus. We can't wait for your kingdom to rule on earth as it is in heaven, that everything will be led by the truth and ruled by your righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for being a great God, true and holy and righteous,
even if we can't understand everything that you do, we seek to please you, my Father, our Father in heaven. Please protect us, direct our steps, direct all our decisions. Never let us go. Be with us through the valleys of darkness, casting out all demons and not letting us hurt our foot, but commanding your angels around us wherever we go, ensuring that we have enough food and a place to live, that we are not tempted to commit sin because we can't afford our life as it is. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation. In all, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I think that was right. I don't know. I think I went wrong, maybe. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you will please protect all of your children out there, Lord, and bless all the listeners of this sermon, that they may know that you are with them, and that you love them so much, and that they feel encouraged in your holy name and in your word and truth, and that their Bible reading will be expanded, that they'll have understanding, and that you will shorten the time for their struggles, but lengthen their times of pleasures, and reading the Bible, that they'll have extra time, that an hour will feel like a week, just studying and getting enjoyment through your word. I pray now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I cast out all demons, hexes, curses, witchcraft. I break all chains of demonic entities over your lives, in your homes, your devices, your electrics. I put the blood of Christ over all of you, that you have the full protection of Jesus Christ, and that his Holy Spirit will be filled inside you to direct your steps, give you understanding and wisdom in all you do. I pray this now in the name of Jesus, that you will know your authority to cast out demons in the name of Jesus and stand on the rock of Christ, and that we know who we are, and that all demons will be petrified and flee. We pray this now in the mighty name of Jesus. It's Aisha from God FM. Have a wonderful day. Take care.